Welcome.
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 You're listening to Built by Us.
Built by Us.
Built by Us.
Built by Us.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Built by Us. Today we have some very special Democracy NC guests with us, and we're going to have a really special conversation today about Juneteenth and what it means to each of our guests and how they celebrate. And so before we get started on having that amazing conversation, Taylor, do you want to introduce us to our guests?
Yes, I would love to. We have our new hosts with us, Emily, Courtney, and Hassan, and we are joined by Democracy North Carolina superstars, Kamaria E. Lawrence, Linda Sutton, and Desmera Gatewood. So I would love for each of them to introduce themselves. Kamaria, I'll pass it to you.
Thank you, Taylor. My name is Kamaria E. Lawrence. I am the regional managing organizer for the Western Piedmont region based out of Charlotte in the super funky Camp North End.
Hello, everyone. I am Linda Sutton, and I'm the regional managing organizer out of the central Piedmont area, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and surrounding counties.
Hey, y'all. My name is Desmera Gatewood. I am the organizing program manager for Democracy North Carolina. I've been at Democracy North Carolina since 2019, and it's been a joy working with people like Taylor, Kamaria, and Miss Linda for all this time. So excited to talk about this with them.
Well, thanks for introducing yourselves. Lovely to have you as guests. So Emily, can you ground us a little bit on what we're going to be talking about today?
Yes. So according to history.com, Juneteenth, which is short for June 19th, marks the day when federal troops arrived in Galveston, Texas in 1865 to take control of the state and ensure that all enslaved people be freed. The troops' arrival came a full 2.5 years after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, and Juneteenth honors the end to slavery in the United States and is considered the longest running African-American holiday. And if any of our guests today would like to add to that historical context or add anything that you know about the history of Juneteenth, you are very welcome to.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear just our guests' thoughts on even that definition from history.com.
Well, this is Linda. Let me just say that it wasn't always called Juneteenth. Some communities celebrated under other names like Emancipation Day or Jubilee Day. I know a lot of churches and religious institutions have these Jubilee celebrations. And Liberation Day, we've had some people celebrate it as Liberation Day. So it's still Juneteenth. I think that's the name that stuck with most people, Juneteenth.
I would just echo what Linda just shared. As I've shared before with my colleagues, my graduate program was African-American studies, as well as my minor in undergraduate school. But as Linda just shared, it's an Emancipation Day. It's Jubilee. It's a great celebration. And we have not always celebrated it that way, because a lot of African-Americans, the further we get away from slavery, like, we don't talk about this. So I am thrilled each year to celebrate Juneteenth. And I'm grateful that in my community here in Charlotte, it's not just a day, but we celebrate the whole weekend. And I'm grateful that my employer is honoring Juneteenth.
And I was also wondering, you know, when we read and learn that this day was 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, what are some of like the feelings that come up for y'all or the conversations that y'all may have had around the essential extension of slavery for 2.5 years due to this like lack of communication between all the states, I guess?
Well, we have to realize that at that time, we didn't have technology the way we have it now. So people are getting information 2 years later. But also, when I receive this information as a slave, do I really believe this information? Am I just going to leave what I have known as home, even though home had a trauma associated with it, as my slave plantation that I lived on? So it's, you know, it's troubling to know that. And I remember when I taught African American studies to grades K through eighth grade at an enrichment program, some of my students were like, well, I would have just left and ran. I was like, where are you going to? Do you know life off of this plantation? I mean, I would like to assume we know which way is north, but what's going on when you get north? So there's just so many things that are going through people's head. Of course, no one alive knew anyone who was alive then personally, directly, but there's just so much. And the only thing I could possibly relate it to in my lifetime, I was born in 77, but related to in my lifetime, it's not exactly the same thing. But when President Obama was elected president, I was so thrilled. I did work on that campaign. I was excited. I'm the last person with a landline, but just the excitement that this has happened, but did it really happen? This has happened, but what do I do now that it has happened? So, and Linda may have some more insight, some more thoughts on that. And I apologize if I cut you off.
Oh, no problem. You know, I was just thinking about, you can't talk about Juneteenth until you understand the Civil War that was happening. So there's more than people understanding, well, this is a Juneteenth celebration of the emancipation of slaves, you know, when they became free. But you have to know your history and the history surrounding the Civil War. And just thinking about, it was really meant for those slaves that were living in the Southern Confederate States. So that's why I say understanding the history of the Civil War is important to understanding what Juneteenth actually is all about. I know here in Winston-Salem, I think we have been celebrating Juneteenth for about 17 years. And each year since I've been at Democracy in North Carolina, we've had our summer friend turns and interns participate in Juneteenth to have them become more aware of the culture, the experience, the Black experience, the heritage, and the achievements of African American people. So last year and this year, really the only 2 years since we've been doing Democracy Summer through our digital means, we haven't been able to be out there in the public square. We've held Juneteenth from inside the Coliseum to in the park to, you know, various schools and different venues ever since we started. And it's such a big celebration here in my community, and simply because of the exposure to African-American art, the talent, painting, the clothing. And you know, of course, if I'm gonna be there, I'm gonna be talking about politics. I'm gonna be talking about, okay, we need to make sure you're registered to vote, and I'm distributing some information to educate people about their participation in the political process. So we've had it from talking at the highest levels about politics all the way down to educating children about their history. And we have a lot of young people participating through dance and music. We have gospel choirs, we have parades, and some communities actually form Juneteenth committees, proclamations by the city, and you just name it. Different communities have different ways to celebrate. There's a whole week of celebration going on here in the state, starting on Juneteenth and going forward that next week. But it's a wonderful celebration, and it reminds everyone. It also introduces people to that history that they have missed, as a lot of history is missing from our young folks. But it introduces them to that history and our culture and our heritage, you know, so instilling in them that sense of pride, showing that resilience that the African-American people have had throughout these years, and educating them on their history of slavery. You know, that's important for people to understand. And so I'm happy to participate, and I love it when this day comes around, because we get to showcase our resilience. We get to showcase our culture, our heritage, our clothing, our jewelry, our books, our music, our dance. And it's a wonderful celebration that I hope that all communities participate in.
I think those are great points that you make, Ms. Linda, especially like that Juneteenth is not just the celebration of the end of slavery, which is very important, obviously, but it's a good point that you make that it's a celebration of Black excellence. It's a celebration of a wonderful culture, and that there, before Juneteenth was established, there wasn't like a holiday that Black people could celebrate and like enjoy, because there's the 4th of July, right? But that wasn't for Black people. That, you know, when the Declaration of Independence was signed, Black people were not free. So it's very important that Juneteenth is just a holiday where people can get together and really celebrate Black joy and Black excellence. So,
and there are people who celebrate different ways. Not all communities sponsor festivals. Some families just get together with a cookout, you know. I've heard of some communities having special events like a bike ride or you know, a parade or something like that. But we're always lifting up music, food, dancing, and the heritage. And music, food. I remember one Juneteenth, I had a big pitcher of red, they call it red pop. And it's basically, it was red Kool-Aid, but the red pop was symbolic in those days. And it became a staple for Juneteenth. And so I don't know if any of you remember how popular Kool-Aid was back in the day. Great Kool-Aid with lemons cut up in it. You know, but red pop was one of those staples. And then some communities have gone even further in having big galas, you know, it's just according to the community. And it's something that, you know, each African-American community need to make sure happens in their community to educate people and remind people. I know some people today, you know, they don't want to talk about it. And they say that, you know, it might have been my great, 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 great grandfather, and it wasn't me. However, I say to them that you are still benefiting from slavery. So as long as we continue to educate people, and we have to fight back against communities who are trying to keep Black history out of our school system and out of our textbooks. You have to maintain that history, because that is who we are. That is our country. And, you know, countries around the world too, but that is our history in the United States. And people need to understand that history, know that history, so we won't fall back and make the same mistakes again.
That's a really important point, Linda. Something that we've been talking about, and I think a lot of people have been talking about, is just what you were saying, the movement to take what little Black history exists out of textbooks, and to, you know, prohibit this critical race theory that is important for young people to grow up learning so that they have a proper understanding of the world. And without that, whitewashing would become even more dominant than it is right now in the way that we understand our history. So I appreciate you making that comment, Linda. And you said you brought up something about something that happened at one Juneteenth. So we were wondering if y'all remember your first Juneteenth experience, what it was, and, you know, how it made you feel for the first time. Go ahead, Diz.
Well, so the very first Juneteenth that I went to, I was a little girl, actually, and I was really confused because I thought that they were confused about how numbers worked because it's like Juneteenth. I'm like, no, it's June 19th. Like, why are they saying Juneteenth? I was a little kid, though. And I was just like, what is June? Is that a date? Like Juneteenth? Like, you know, like it bothered me. I was like 8 years old, though. But went to this cookout and this fish fry. And I was like, I don't know when Juneteenth is, but if we get to have like a bouncy house and food and like music, then it's worth it. And so it was beautiful because it was like a celebration, but they still infuse your history with it. So you're not just arbitrarily celebrating something because capitalism's like, yeah, you should celebrate today. In fact, it's the opposite. Like Walmart doesn't have a Juneteenth section. If they do, they do now, but it's not something you see commercials about or have marketing about. It's like, really have to be a Black person to be celebrating Juneteenth, and that's it. Like, you don't need any sort of marketing campaign. So it was really cool to see people put that amount of energy and resources around a liberation holiday. I think that was pretty bold to say, we're going to celebrate the day that the last slaves in Texas were allowed to be free. It's almost like a Moses situation, like a let my people go type thing. So it's like, you know, it's happy, but it's crazy how many happy things are created out of like sadness, like, you know, like us having a King Day or, you know, like our celebrations have to be steeped in us getting freed from oppression. So it's like, but whatever, we turned up, we did our thing. And years later, it's cool to see. And I think this is what people are saying about like history. Like, it's cool to see that Black people, when given an opportunity to learn about and celebrate their culture, they're going to do it proudly. And it was actually fascinating to see over time when all these uprisings and things are happening in response to the persecution of Black lives from the state. It was interesting to see that pride in Blackness and Black beauty and Black culture kind of rise around the same time. And we're talking about with holidays, we're talking about with hairstyles, we're talking about with social movements, we're talking about a real reconnection with Blackness that happens in the face of a lot of oppression, kind of like the Black beauty movement that happened around the 60s and the Black power movement. When Black people matriculate through movements, there's also that cultural aspect. So I like how Juneteenth combined the culture and the movement aspect of Blackness. And it took Black joy from a situation where Black people, their joy, their language, their heritage, their dignity was robbed. And so they find a way to make this a day where they celebrate. And they're not just celebrating a day, they're celebrating resilience. They're celebrating a people that went through something. They're celebrating people that will never get talked about in a mainstream classroom. And they're celebrating people that really, I always end up like about to cry, but people that really did everything they could to keep their families together and their lives together and still work and still try to get free. And so it represents a people. So it's not just about this little, you know, microcosm of Blackness. It's about showing like these white people were still standing. And Black people keep standing. And it's really terrible that you're in a society where you get knocked down so bad that your holiday is you celebrating getting emancipated from them. So that's got to be sobering. But at the same time, if Black people find a reason to eat and play spades and cook, you know, we're gonna go hard. So that's why I really loved it. It was a lot of, you know, food and fish and spades and, you know, ish talking and, you know, line dancing and also people getting up and speaking about the culture in between. So thank you all for listening. That's what Juneteenth, that was my first Juneteenth. And I love people like Miss Linda and Kamaria that are really putting everything on the line to keep us free. So thank you all.
We're passing the baton to you and Courtney and Hassan and Alyssa and Emily. We're passing the baton to you to carry this forward, okay? But I, you know, I can't remember. I know ever since I've been attending Juneteenth, I've been actually setting up a table or booth to do voter registration because everybody knows that was my passion. But, you know, as a little girl, I remember, you know, like I was saying earlier, I remember dressing up. I remember the family getting together and putting food in the trunks of cars, and we would all gather at a church and eat food out of the trunk of the car, you know, like that was our picnic because we didn't actually have picnic tables. If I could tell you some of the stories of growing up living in a house with an outhouse, and none of you probably cannot remember anything like that, but I'm sorry to tell my age, but I have those experiences. But I just wanted to just mention one thing. I don't know if you all remember that song, How I Got Over. The Black church was really the oldest institution that we had. And singing those old gospel songs and praying is how we got over. And I think that's why it's been instilled in me and why I still love getting together, singing those good old gospel songs and praying, you know, believing in prayer. So I was raised that way. The younger generation wasn't brought up that way. They don't understand what it's like to live in a house with an outhouse, not have an indoor bathroom. They don't understand what every Sunday your main dinner was chicken, because that was your top of the line meal Sunday with chicken, you know, and then things that we ate the rest of the week, like pig feet and chitlins and all the leftovers, because that's what the slaves had. The slaves ate the leftovers, okay? And so all of that has, you know, brought us all the way back to now where we still have people who are cooking, you know, chicken feet and chitlins and pig ears and pig tails. And when I was a little girl, I remember eating that mess because my grandmother would cook it, you know, but chicken was our main meal. So there's a lot that was wrapped up in the church and the history of the church for African-American people, because singing those songs and praying is really what kept our slaves from going crazy, okay? Because we believed in prayer and we believed in singing songs to get us over, you know? And even today we are singing, ain't gonna let nobody turn me around today. We are still carrying that in our heart, that spirit. And that came out of the Black church. And that is how we got over, you know, through prayer and singing those songs. So you know, we had to be a resilient people to withstand, and we are still here and we are still proud of our heritage. And I don't remember the, you know, too much about back then in the 50s and 60s as far as celebrating, even if we did. I know that the church is what kept us together and kept us hopeful into a, you know, everything that we experienced through through the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement all the way up. So I just wanted to, you know, reemphasize how important the Black Church was as an institution to the African-American population.
I, like Linda, I don't remember the first one because I've been to several of the Juneteenth celebrations, primarily here in Charlotte. But to me, I just love going to the park. It's since here in Charlotte, the celebration has since moved to Thomas Avenue outside of the House of Africa, which is owned by Pap. His name is Pap. but I just love seeing so many people who look like me celebrating the fact that we are Black, celebrating that we originate from the continent of Africa. So many people celebrating our religious beliefs, and we're celebrating it freely. We're not ashamed to dance the way we dance, praise the way we praise, cook the way we cook, sing the way we sing. And it's just wonderful. And in Charlotte, there's not a whole lot of things here. This is a banking city. And there's not a whole lot of things in our city that celebrate our Blackness outside of CIAA, which is relocating. But this is celebrating everything that we are, our journey, where we've been, where we're going, where we are now. And I'm just grateful to see so many different generations at this annual celebration. It's wonderful. I'm kind of happy to see other cultures coming to our Juneteenth celebration so they can see, oh, that's why they do this, or that's where this comes from. I don't mind the questions. I don't. But give us this. I don't want to say give us this. This is ours. We have it. It's ours to keep. And I just really, I'm excited. I'm really excited. And this conversation is making me think about hosting something here at my own home this year and going to the celebration at the House of Africa, outside of the House of Africa. But I'm just grateful, grateful, grateful for Juneteenth. I really am. And I, when Linda was talking about the red pop, she was so correct. We'd be so excited to get the red pop. And I mean, the croaker, I was like, you get some croaker fish. You see Linda laughing. Some good croaker in the white bread. So that's all you need.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You have to have a fish fry, okay?
In the wash pot.
So. Yes, yes, yes.
On top of the stove, but in the wash pot.
But it's all in celebration. And it's to make sure that generations to come don't forget. You have to remember your history. And that's what's so important to me about Juneteenth, is making sure that generations to come know, understand, and remember their history.
And Kamaria, when both of y'all, you and Ms. Linda, mentioned the red pop, I remember you teaching me something last year at last year's Juneteenth about the red pop and how it's like a longstanding tradition. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about that and some other longstanding Juneteenth traditions that maybe you take part in.
Yes, red pop, definitely. That's what we had, as Linda shared. We didn't have everything, but we had that. And so that was definitely one of the traditions. Linda shared eating fish. Fish, I could get that in the stream. I could have gotten it in the stream. I'm going to the store now. But and chicken, as she shared, that's something that doesn't cost a whole lot of money. You know that chicken is less expensive than beef. But like my granny, which is what I call my grandmother, my granny, she's like, go and get that yard bird. The yard bird. but those are things that we're able to drink or eat because we did not have the top of the line, did not have access. We weren't granted access. And it's so important that we keep this tradition. And you have to take the scraps and make it wonderful. And I'm just thinking about all the different things. Watermelon, although sometimes watermelon can be seen as a negative thing. When you think of African-Americans, we don't want to be the Black person eating the watermelon in the picture, but that's some good stuff. And soak the watermelon is even better. But there's just so many things in our history that we have. However you choose to make it, I know there's a dish called the Juneteenth Bowl that has lots of our vegetables that came from Africa, like yams and collard greens and other things. And you just have to do what Linda said, do. Everything she said is fact, but you have to keep teaching our history so you understand. I'm not drinking red pop just because it tastes good. I'm drinking this because they drank this before me. That is why it is important to me. No matter how you cook collard greens, because I just found a new way to cook them. And it's, but the reason why it's important to me is because my granddad and my grandpa, they would grow these, they would pick these, they would cook these. And we have to keep teaching individuals and teaching generations our story, or else we will be forgotten. Because as Linda said earlier, it's not in a book. It's not regular information that is shared and celebrated. So it's so essential that we make sure to share this with the generations.
Yeah, when I share stories with my grandchildren, they just can't believe it. The only thing they know is, Grandma, can you cash out me some money so I can order some takeout? That's what they understand, you know. But I sit them down and I say, look, when I was your age, we didn't have cash out. We didn't have takeout. My grandmother would put a pot of pinto beans on her warm morning stove, a wood stove that you cooked with wood, you know, and we have it every day when we come home from school. There was a pot of pinto beans on the stove, you know, and trying to get them to understand. If I was to say to my grandkids or the young people of today, what we were having for supper, we're going to have some pig feet and some rice. Are we going to have some chitlins and cornbread? Are we going to have, they don't relate to that, you know, but I tell them that's what we ate. So can you imagine being slaves and having to eat the scraps? Can you imagine? A lot of slaves were in cotton fields. You can't eat that cotton, okay? So, you know, the other thing that we've gotten away from is planting our own food. We don't do that anymore either. But, you know, young people need to understand and know how to grow your own food, you know, and it's going to be much better for you than what you're buying in the store that you don't know what types of chemicals have been sprayed on your vegetables or what type of, you know, what's been injected into your chicken or your beef or your pork to make it grow bigger, you know. And so learning to grow your own food is something that, you know, we want to make sure that people understand that. And so we do have, especially the Muslim community is good for that, for teaching people how to grow their own food. And, you know, because what we were left with back in those days, I mean, can you imagine a pot of chicken feet, just the feet? But when my grandmother cooked it, it was the best tasting stuff. I'm telling you, and I just can't believe I ate chicken feet as a child. But, you know, that's what we ate. That's what we had available. I remember fish. We had in the neighborhood, a Chinese laundry. And we used to buy, my grandmother would go to that Chinese laundry and buy bone fish wrapped up in newspaper. And she would bring that home. And that was the best fish I ever tasted wrapped in newspaper. But there's so many traditions that were passed on through us and through your grandparents and great-grandparents that, you know, it gives you a little window into what they were experiencing and what they had to go through. And then when we thought we had really became, you know, we thought we were wealthy, when we actually moved into the projects that had electric heat and had an indoor bathroom, you know. And I remember my mother got her first job at a department store, and they used to sell, she worked at the candy counter, and they would sell chocolate covered ants and chocolate covered bees. And she used to bring that chocolate covered insect bag home for us to eat. And, you know, and I think about that, I mean, wow, we went through a lot of foods that people would not dare eat today. But just to say this before I stop talking, we're probably about the only country in the world that don't eat insects and bugs, really, because everybody else does, you know. And so that's a little testament of the resilience of people all over the world eating what they have available. And we did the same thing, although it wasn't, you know, the steak and the pork chops and all of that, but we ate what was available, and that passed on. The fish we never got away from. We still love the fish. We'll never, like the Bible says, you teach a man how to fish. And so just wanted to make sure that we instill this in our children, our grandchildren, and for future generations, you know, how you survive, you know, teach them how to plant their own food, teach them how to fish, you know, and just passing our heritage on to our future generations, making sure that they celebrate, you know. Probably 25 years from now, you will probably be saying, wow, I remember when I used to go to any of our fast food restaurants, you know, at 25 years from now, that might be outdated. That might be gone, and you'll be thinking back on history. Oh, I remember when I used to, and I can't believe I'd eat that food without it being inspected, you know. So learning from your history and understanding your history is so important to people who are coming behind us.
Thank you. Kamari, I was wondering, like, if you had any last closing thoughts or anything you wanted to say to make sure for folks who maybe this is the first time they're hearing about Juneteenth, just what you want people to walk away knowing.
I just want people to continue to celebrate Juneteenth. It's not a day, it's an experience. It's an experience, whether it's the experience of slavery. We need to tell people our story. We need to not be ashamed of our story, but celebrate where we've come from and where we are and where we are going. Everything that Linda has shared today, as I said earlier, is fact, and it's beautiful to hear. I love my culture. I love my culture. I love being a Black woman. I wouldn't trade it for anything. This is all I know, but I also don't see something that I think is better. So I am grateful that we are having this discussion today, and just continue to learn more about cultures. You don't have to trade yours or try to take on someone else's culture, but definitely continue to celebrate your own personal culture, and respect other people's culture. I think it's very important to not appropriate, but respect other people's culture.
Mm-hmm. You know, we should always be proud of ourselves, our heritage. And I would like to hear from Emily. I want Emily to talk a little bit about her African descent.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you. So I was born in Dominican Republic, and I'm very proud of it. I came here at a very young age, and I never really knew where I fit in. Like, I knew I was Latina, and I knew that I could speak Spanish, but I for a long time, my race was a mystery to me. And then I started reading more and more about the history of DR and how it really was one of the first enslaved countries, because that was one of the first countries where the slaves were brought to it in the Atlantic slave trade. And so since learning that, I've just been reading more and more and trying to educate myself more and more and really just appreciate my African ancestry, because the Dominican culture really is really founded on the African roots of it. So like I said, I love, being a part of this culture, and my stepfather is a Black man as well. So he's taught me a lot about what he knows and what he's experienced. So yeah, I'm just very grateful, and I'm looking forward to being able to celebrate Juneteenth year after year. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I kind of grew up going to Juneteenth celebrations, grew up going to Kwanzaa celebrations, kind of grew up in my culture. So I don't even necessarily remember my first Juneteenth celebration. They all kind of look the same in my head. Like, it's either a cookout or a fest, or a meeting, and where me and my dad play drums. I've kind of always been in my culture, so to almost to the point where I take it not necessarily for granted, but Juneteenth is just oh, I'm about to go get a plate. Somebody gonna give me a plate. I don't know who gonna give me a plate, but somebody gonna give me a plate. It's kind of like homecoming. But I do enjoy the energy. I do enjoy the people. I've always enjoyed the ability or the prevalence of being immersed in my culture. Always kind of knowing who I am and where I come from and the things that I do and don't celebrate. Like my family, we didn't celebrate Valentine's Day. We didn't celebrate St. Patrick's Day. We kind of celebrated Christmas, but that's pretty much it. We only celebrated Thanksgiving because my grandma used to celebrate Thanksgiving and she passed away. So we would always make her meal and gather as a family. It wasn't even necessarily about, whatever they said. It was, it's a family thing. It's for us to be together. So I've always appreciated that I kind of grew up amongst my people almost without labels or without specification, just in general. And then growing up and be able to be like, oh, this was that, this was that. And still just have that great, that appreciation for it. It's kind of cool. It's special. And I appreciate it. I appreciate that aspect of my childhood and the way that my parents raised me like that. So shouts to them.
Have you ever thought about the connection with drums and drumming? Because I had a brother that played drums. Well, a couple brothers that played drums and bongos, though. So. You say you and your dad both play drums.
Yeah.
Just think about the history of drums.
Yeah. And it was me, my dad, and my little brother, actually, for the most part. And it was always, recognizing the ancestors. We used to do libation. We still sometimes do libation at events. Communication between each other. So just the way, the drum was the first phone. For real, for real. And always has been, always will be. So even now, when I'm on stage, I do poems, I do poetry, performing, it's just recognizing that, that's another aspect of that root that was implanted in me early. I can't necessarily escape it. I'm gonna be a part of the village one way or another. I appreciate
Wonderful. Great.
I don't know. I've been really appreciating a lot of the reflections on Juneteenth. It's actually kind of wild for me because I don't think I ever really knew about Juneteenth until I went to UNC and kind of had a similar experience. I think it was Des who mentioned it of it's June 19th. What is Juneteenth? It's a date. And then I started learning the history behind it. And, I don't know, it's just been powerful for me to just witness the way that Black folks hold space for resistance and the way that I can hold space for our resistance. Because the thing that I think about a lot is, you know, knowing that like a lot of our joy and like resistance and all that is coming from having to resist from white supremacy. But there's a point where I just feel like, you know, like we're like opening ourselves up to like, I don't know, all the negative parts of what we had to experience, but also at the same time of opening up the reality of everything that happened to us. We're opening up all the joy of the fact that like we survive and we keep surviving and we keep thriving and we keep being beautiful and we keep dancing and we keep seeing all this other stuff. And I don't know, I feel like every Juneteenth, I feel like all parts of that. And the thing that I've been thinking about, I've started reading an essay from Audre Lorde where she's like talking about how we have to like tap into the dark places of us, acknowledge like our emotions and our feelings, and that the dark moments of emotion and feeling are also places of ancestral wisdom. And then that's something that goes beyond what can be like described in like European, you know, white supremacist standards of feeling, you know, is something that can't even be like boundaried up of like, you're sad, you're happy, you know, it can't be that, because it's something deep and ancestral that connects across so many different experiences that we can't even necessarily like describe in words and like see in our present day, because it's not even just us. And I just feel like Juneteenth is like that for me. It's like this moment of like deep ancestral connection of like, you know, I mean, for me, whenever I experience deep moments of joy, I also experience the grief too. But like being able to like feel all of that and like pushing off of Audre Lorde to me is like always like another avenue for liberation, to know that we can hold all of that and we can exist in all of that, and that our existence in all of that is reconnecting us. And that reconnection is allowing us to thrive another year until Juneteenth pops up again. So I don't know. I love it. It's been great to experience.
And keep in mind that we are all what we call citizens of the world. I mean, if you think about, I mean, not, you know, slavery was the worst thing that could happen to a person, to be, you know, it's unimaginable to think that, you know, somebody will think I'm property and that I'm less than a human being. But just think about all the peoples in the United States. Think about what happened to the Japanese. I mean, that's why, you know, we have Greek festivals. We have, people need to share their stories. They need to let people know the history, and don't be afraid to share the history of their people. That's why I say, if it's a Greek festival or Cinco de Mayo, whatever it is, you know, if it's a Black History celebration or, you know, whatever it is, people need to teach those that are coming behind them the history of their people, the history of the country, in order to make it a better country, you know, in order to give hope to their people, because it can be daunting, you know, reading a person's history. I can imagine how the Japanese, I can imagine, you know, reading that history of what happened. I can imagine people not really understanding what slavery was. And that's why you have to tell the stories, because you're connecting it to today, why we have anti-voter bills coming out across the country that's targeting Black and Brown communities. We are still fighting. We are still fighting. And that's another way, when we fight back, showing our resilience. They have targeted Black and Brown communities for a while, you know, but we're still here and we're still fighting. We're still strong and we're going to remain that way. And no matter what they do, you cannot kill that spirit within us, within Black and Brown people. So So celebrate, but keep working and keep fighting and pass the knowledge on to others. That's my go-to statement. Pass it forward. Take up the baton, young folks, and keep fighting, because you're going to be fighting not only for your parents and grandparents, but you're going to be fighting for future generations. Okay. But thank you all for sharing. It was wonderful listening to you all. Emily telling your story, and Courtney and her son, you know, and Alyssa, you all are just fantastic. Just love you so much.
We love you.
Love you too.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to the panelists. And thanks for helping us create a North Carolina that's built by us.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, made of, I and for the people.
Yay. Thanks, everybody.
Happy Juneteenth.
Thank you.
You don't gotta go home, but you do gotta go to the next episode.
Connect with us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at DemocracyNC. Or you can visit our website at democracync.org.